Okay, we are on Pei Dalet Amid Beis. Today's daf is Yevamis Daf Pei Hei. And we are on Pei Dalet Amid Beis, about 10 lines up from the bottom, Masiv Ravin Bar Nachman. So we have been discussing, as we started yesterday's daf, the Perek of Yesh Mutaris Labaalehen. The Mishnah came up with four categories of relationships. Some are usher to one and mutter to the other one. Some are usher to both, and some are mutter to both. So we started to discuss first the language of the cases. Then we went into, on yesterday's Amud Beis, why are certain cases left out? And the Gemara ended up saying, well, Tana Bashir, there are a lot of cases left out. It's not a mutually exclusive list. And Mitzri is left out, and some cases are extra, and it would have been in there. So the Gemara ended up saying that it was Tana Bashir. Along the way, the Gemara quoted the principle of Rav, Lo Husa Ruksheiros Lehinasi Lipsulin. And that meant that the Bas Kohen, right, daughters of Kohanim, do not have the same rules as Kohanim, or an Ashes Kohen. An Ashes Kohen, it doesn't have the same. Those are Ksheros, Lihinase Lipsulin. So we were now going a little bit into that principle, and we discussed, we try to use our Mishnah to see if our Mishnah was a Raya, and the Gemara said that it is not a Raya. So now we're going to go a little further into delving into that principle. So Masiv Ravin Bar Nachman, about 10 lines up. Lo Yikachu, Lo Yikachu. The Psukim by Kohanim, in the beginning of Emor, has a double Lashon of Lo Yikachu. Why? Melamed, Sheha Isha Musheres Al Yidei Ha'ish. Question mark. What's the Havamina? That means that men and women have the exact same Isurim in this area in terms of Kahuna. Right? That's the Havamina. To be Mazir Ksheros, so that they're not allowed to marry Chalalim. Right? In our Mishnah, we tried to say, our Mishnah sounded like it was a Raya. We ended up saying it was not a Raya. But the Mishnah said a Chalal can marry a Kshera. So we thought that meant any Kshera woman, even a Bas Kohen. We ended up saying, no, it's not a foolproof Raya. But that's how we got into the Sugya. It sounds that way. So the Gemara is saying, is they really true? It says, Le'ikachu twice. Doesn't that show that a Bas Kohen is not allowed to marry a Chalal? Just like a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Chalala, which that we know for sure, a Pasuk in the Torah. So Gemara says, no, Amar Rava. It's not what that line means. Amar Rava, it just means as follows. Kol hecha dehu muzar, he muzheres. V'kol hecha dehu lo muzar, he lo muzdahara. No, it just means, in the case which is an Avera, so then both man and woman violate that Avera. In any case, like a Kohen and a Chalala, which is ba'Avera, so then the woman is also mitzuva and muzheres in that Avera. But there are some cases that there's no Avera for anybody. Like a Kohenes and a Chalal. There's no Aveira for the man, there's no Aveira for the woman. Right? This line, the double Oikachu, just means that once the man is Muzhar, the woman is Muzharis. So whenever you have two different people involved in an Aveira, so in a case of Arayos, both of them get the Aveira. Sometimes you have people involved in an Aveira, and there's a question, who gets the Aveira and who doesn't? For example, Baal Takif, or Baal Tashchis. Right? If I shave off somebody's payas, so who gets the Aveira? The Makif or the Nikaf, discussed in the Maseches Makos. What if he doesn't move? If he moves, it makes it easier for me. Okay, that's called Misayeya. What if he doesn't? So again, two people involved in an Aveira, but one's an object, one's a subject. So you might say it's different. But here, by Arayos, by marriage, so there are two players involved, and that's what the Gemara says. Each one is Muzhar whenever it is Ba'avera. That's what the double Lashon of Lo Yikachu is teaching me. Stopping there for a minute, the Rishonim here, the Ramban, in the forefront says, you need a special pasuk to tell me that both of them are Muzharos in the Maisa. And without this pasuk of Lo Yikachu, I might have thought that only the man gets the Avera by a Kohen and a Chalala, not the woman. What about Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Michshol? Right? That's pasuk in Chumash. Ask the Ramban. Why, what do you need this pasuk for? Of Lo Yikachu Kashali, Tepeklei, Daha'ika, a different Avera, Daha'ika, Mishum Lifnei'i, Revelositin Michshol, Dehu Shavibako, right? So you don't need a special pasuk of Lo Yikachu by Kahuna. Just say Lifnei'i. Says the Ramban, the Yesh Lomar, La'ola, Mishum Lifnei'i, Revelositin Michshol, Ika. You're right. It would be Lifnei'i here, but you wouldn't get Malkus for that. Because Lifnei Iver is what he calls a general lav. Avalukos Allah Mishum Lav Miyuchad Ba Mahadrinan. We're looking for a context where you can get a specific lav. If it's a lav Shebeklalos, a lav that includes a lot of different isurim. You don't get malchus for that. So the Rabban doesn't use that lashon here to call it a lav shebeklalos, because it's a different type of lav shebeklalos. Lav shebeklalos usually is a lav that includes a lot of different averos. Lo sochlu al hadam. What's lo sochlu al hadam? Do not eat blood. Bezins are not allowed to eat on the day they put somebody to death. You're not allowed to eat before davening. Right? There's a lot of lo sochlu al ha, a lot of ideas included in lo sochlu al hadam, among other isurim. That's a lav shebeklalos. Here it's more of a general type of Isser, which has a lot of different applications, Lifne Iver. But either way, the Ramban says, you're not going to get Malchus for that. And the Gemara is looking for a source that you would get Malchus, and that's why it has a specific pasuk by Kohanim. That's a crucial line in the Ramban. What about Lifne Iver? No, Lifne Iver is more of a general idea. So that Lashon of the Ramban might connect, it's not Mukhrach, but it might connect to the larger question that the Achronim deal with. The roots of it are in the Rishonim. But the larger question of, well, how do I look at Lifnei Iver in general? Fine, the Ramban says he's not going to get Malchus. But is that reflecting something conceptual? When I do a Lifnei Iver of any Avera, is that a little bit of that Avera, what we call Prati? Or is it more general? Lifnei Iver of all 10 different Averas is all Lifnei Iver. It's all the same idea. So how do I look at a Lifnei Iver? Lamai Nafkamina, you might say this is just a conceptual question. The answer is no. There's an amazing Nafkamina, Machlokas between the Baal HaMor and the Ramban, where the Baal HaMor and the Ramban argue, if somebody is asked Chas V'Shalom to do Lifnei Iver of the one of the big three Averas, somebody goes over to Reuven and says, convince Shimon to kill Levi or I'm going to kill you. Is that Yeharik Val Yavar? Lifnei Iver of the big three? That's a machlokas, it's Sanhedrin, Baal HaMor and the Ramban. Again, if you say, no, they don't explicate it, but that's obviously the svar behind it. If you say Lifnei Iver of the big three is a little bit of the big three, so that's why it's going to be Yeharik Val Yavar, even Lifnei Iver of the big three. If you say that, no, it's not the big three, only actual big three is Yeharik Val Yavar, then you're saying, no, Lifnei Iver is a general concept, Davar Klali, not a Davar Prati. So it could be, not Mukhrach, but it could be the Ramban, right? Because you might say that the Ramban holds that even though there's no Malchus, it's still a Prati Averis, just not strong enough to give you Malchus. You don't have to say he's holding Klali. Forgot which one. You got to look at the Baal HaMor Ramban, see if it's Lashitaso, but that is the Ramban's comment here. And the Rashba and his Talmidim continue that as well. The Minchas Chinuch discusses this as well. You can't learn Lifnei Iver without discussing some of the points of the Minchas Chinuch, where he quotes, this is a question, and that is, so he doesn't quote this on the Ramban, but he said, okay, it's Klali, but remember there are two parts of the Isser of Lifnei Iver. Two parts. The Chinuch says there's two parts. Number one is facilitating somebody to do an Avera. That is Lifnei Iver, Lo Sitin Mechshol. But there's also giving somebody bad advice. That's also included in Lifnei Iver. That's what Rashi says on Chumash in Parshas Kedoshim. Lifnei Suma Bedavar, in front of somebody who is blind in a certain area, I'm not allowed to give him advice that I want to buy a car, this car, and I know he's interested, so I'm going to tell him all the bad things about the car, so I'll convince him not to buy it, and then I'll go buy it. It's a daraisa of Lifnei Iver, Lo Sitin Mechshol. So, even if you want to say it's davar klali, but it's no worse than bad advice, that's what the Minchas Chinuch discusses. His specific question, he doesn't answer that question, but he says, nistapakti, if I convince somebody to do an Isser Durabanan, do I get Lifnei Iver Daoraisa? That's an afkamina of klali prati, meaning if I'm trying to convince somebody to do a Durabanan, so maybe I can't be worse than the person that I'm convincing. So it's Lifnei, I'm only Lifnei Iver Durabanan. But if you say it's within the other part of Lifnei Iver of giving bad advice, this is bad advice, right? I'm trying to convince somebody to do an Issa Durabanan. Anyway, that's one of the major questions that come up in Lifnei Iver. The other question to come up is there a part three of Lifnei Iver? Facilitating somebody to do an Avera, giving bad advice, but part three is not mentioned. What's part three? Ask the Minchas Chinuch. What about literally putting a rock in front of somebody who's blind? That's not quoted in the Rambam or in the Chinuch. Okay, it's terrible, and we know it's Asur, because of Atarecha Kamocha. But is that the Avera of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitin Mechshol? Literally, Pashup Shat, Eina Mikra Yosef Medei Pshuta. We had that earlier in the Masechta. So what is, ask the Minchas Chinuch, Sarachian, I don't know why the Poskim don't quote that. Don't put a rock in front of somebody who's blind. He says, Lo yadati, kiva de mavur bi yavamis chaf dalet. Tu b'chala tarakula, ein mikri yotzi midei pshuto. And the Ramban, he quotes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, we quoted that there, that it doesn't say, ein amikra el pshuto. It says, ein amikra yotzi midei pshuto. There are different levels. He says, Lo yadati, minalan, dezeh mafurish, eino b'chala halav. I don't know why. So we mentioned in the past, the chiddush of the Klayakar on the Pasuk. The Klayakar says, I'll tell you why it's not quoted. Read the whole Pasuk. And the last two words of the Pasuk, Ani Hashem. What is Ani Hashem? Rashi quotes it a number of times, but there too, Ani Hashem. Hashem says, I'm going to pay back, even if nobody else knows what's going on. I know what's going on, and I'm going to punish you if you do something wrong, and the opposite if you do something right. And that's why Lifnei, nobody knows that you're giving bad advice, but I know, Hashem says. That's what he's going to punish. So says the Klayakar. Putting a rock in front of a blind person, you don't need Hashem to say that's wrong. Anybody looking objectively from the outside sees that that's a terrible thing to do. That's rishus. So therefore the pasuk can't be talking about that, because you don't need the lifnei Hashem there. Oh, this is all my tzabi that only Hashem knows is wrong. No, that's pashut that it's wrong. So that's why Rashi jumps. He doesn't even quote the putting a rock there. He just says lifnei suma bedavar, because it has to be talking, the pshat has to be talking about a case that is not obvious. That's why whenever we read a Rashi, we're like, oh, that's not pshat. A lot of times Rashi is bothered by problems in the text, and that's why he says what he says as pshat. Even though, yes, they have the Rashbam at the beginning of Vayeshev who says that I spoke with my grandfather, and he told me that if he would have time to do it again, he would write his commentary closer to Pshut Lashon Mikra. Okay, but at least when Rashi did write it, he wrote it as according to a certain level of pshat, and the Klayakar says this is one of the examples. Okay, let's continue. So says the Gemara. So that was based on the first line. Rava says that they're both Muzhar, and the Ramban brought in the sugya of Lifnei Iver. So where are we up to? Six lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, Hamehacha Nafka. So you need a pasuk specifically here to teach me that not only is the man going to be chayev in the Isser, let's say a Kohen who marries a Chalala, not only is the man going to get the Aveira, but the woman's going to get the Aveira. You need a special Pasuk in Parshas Emor to teach me that. You know that from a general Limud. Rav Yehuda, a Talmud of Shmuel and a Talmud of Rav. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, V'chein Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, Ish O Isha Ki Yasu Mikol Chatos Adam. The Pasuk says, Hishva Kasav Isha Le'ish L'cholonchen Shabbat Torah. There's a general pasuk that puts men and women together for all punishments, equal for both genders. So we need a specific pasuk by kahuna. We know if two people are involved in an aveira, then they both get the aveira. They're both going to get punished. So what do you need a specific pasuk by in the context of kahuna? So the Gemara says, if I only had the general pasuk of isho isha hava amino lava shave bakol, I would have thought that only applies to Averis. That apply to all Jews. Lavin Hashavin Bakol. Avalav She'enu Shavin Bakol. But a lav which doesn't apply to all Jews. I might have thought that is a weaker lav. And therefore, maybe you could have cases where only the man is going to be chayev and not, and the woman's not going to be chayevus. Lo, I would have thought not. That's why I need a special pasuk by the Isurei Kahuna. Because those are lavim she'eno shavin bakol. Says the Gemara, 1 minute. Vahare tuma. To lav she'eno shavin bakol. What do you mean tuma? The Isur of becoming tamei meis. That's not a lav shavin. That is a lav she'eno shavin bakol. And the only reason that women are excluded, right, an Ashes Kohen is allowed to make herself Tamei, is because of a special pasuk. The time of the Kaz of Rachman, B'nei Aharon, V'lo B'nos Aharon. Only because we have that specific limud. Halav achi, if I didn't have that limud, Hava Amina, I would have said, Nashim Chayavos. I would have said women are obligated, even though it's a lav she'eno shavin bakol. My time, Allah Mishon Rav Yehuda Marav. Isn't the reason I would have said that because of the general Isho Isha limud. So therefore, you know, without any other pasuk, I would have included women. So again, we're back to the question. Why do you have to say lo yikachu twice? I would have known in general from Rav Yehuda Marav that women are included in all Isurim and Onshim Shabbat Torah. So where it says lo, no. The reason that you know that a woman would be included, the reason that you would have thought a woman would be included in Tumah so that you require an exclusion is not because of the general lo yikachu, but it's because of our pasuk. De gamrina mi lo yikachu. Right? You learn it from Lo Yikachu. That's dafka the point. Lo Yikachu includes women, not the general one. The general one only includes Lavin, Hashem, and Bakol. Only this one is includes women, and that's why you need a pasuk to exclude women by this case, by Tuma. So you have the inclusion by a Lava Shava Bakol, right? The Isser of Kohanim marrying, and you have the exclusion by Kohanim and the laws of Tuma to exclude their wives from the halachas. One more line. Ika da amre, or going back to the original question of why you need two lo yikachus. So, ika da amre ki chitzri chalei. No, a chiddush. Salkadai da chamina. Just kind of just the opposite of what we just said. Ligmari tuma. Well, without a special pasuk, I might have said, just like the women have different halachas from the men in terms of tumas kohanim, I might have thought maybe same thing in terms of nisuei kohanim. Kamash malan, so I don't say that. So again, version number one is that once I know by lo yikachu, so that's why I would have thought tumah is the same and therefore I need a pasuk to exclude women. And the second one, in the second version, is just the opposite. Tumah excludes them. That's step one. And therefore I might have excluded them by, I would have said, a bas Kohen is also, I'm sorry, a Bas Kohen is not allowed to marry a Chalal. That's what I would have thought. Kamash v'lan not, I say they're different, and therefore we could still say, Lo Husaruk Sheiros Lihinase Lipsula. Okay, stop there for a moment. If you look on the bottom of the previous Amud, Rashi in Onshin, where Rav Yehuda Marav, right, this is quoted in many places in Shas. You see on the side, quotes about eight other places where this line is quoted, that men and women are equal in terms of the Isurim that they're Usurin. Again, there are differences, but the Gemara says, they're in what they're Chayevasin or Chayevin, they are equal. And then Rashi quotes, obviously there are differences. Onshin, Lav Vikares. In terms of Isurim, Aval Asei, Lohave Onesh. But keep in mind, aseis don't have an onesh. A bittel asei, there is no onesh except for two. Except for Karban Pesach and Bris Milah, there is no onesh for a bittel asei, right? The punishment is the lost opportunity of doing the mitzvah. That itself is the punishment. And we generally assume that not doing an asei is not as severe as doing an aveira. Right, that's what we say. And for example, to do a mitzvah asei, there are limitations. How much one has to spend. Hamavazvez, Ayavazvez, Yosef Michomesh, all different limitations. The Gemara at the beginning of Bava Kama, Ad Shlish. So there are different limitations. To prevent myself from violating a Los Asay, so I have to give away all my money. All my money. Prevent myself from getting a Los Asay. What about a Los Asay Durabanan? That's a question in the Achronim. Right? Do I go that far? But in terms of a Los Asay Daraisa, I have to prevent, because that's worse. That's what makes it fascinating that there's a principle called Asay Dor Los Asay. Right? I might have said that, you know, a violating a los asay is worse than not fulfilling an asay. So a los asay should beat out an asay. Don't violate the los asay. How can you do that? Especially if you take an approach of dechuya to asay docha los asay, meaning the los asay still exists, but you're allowed to push it aside. If you say an approach of hutra, meaning when there's a mitzvah asay, the los asay does not exist, okay, then it's a little better, because there is no los asay here. But if you say that asi docha los asay, the mechanism is that the asay pushes off the los asay, then that's a huge chiddush to say that I should do the asay and push off the los asay. I might do sheva tasa is better, but that's the chiddush. That's the chiddush of the Torah of asi docha los asay. And we discuss all the beginning of the masechta what's the makar for that, for asi docha los asay. Right? Hashkafically, I don't think the Gemara doesn't say this. Hashkafically, the Ramban mentions it in Parshas Yisro, that mitzvahs asay are a function of avas Hashem, and mitzvahs los asay are a function of yiras Hashem. And avas Hashem is a greater level than yiras Hashem, even though the Ramban there acknowledges that usually you would say, don't violate the los asay. But again, that's not the makar for the principle. Makar for the principle is what we had in the first parak here in Yevamos. So the Ramban, so continuing the Rashi. Rashi says, Onshim, lav vikares, aval asay lo havi onish. There's no punishment. Hilkach, therefore, because there's no punishment by asays, because there's no punishment, so therefore this principle over Yehuda Marav is not including the chilak of asays between men and women. Hilkach, mitzvah asay, shezman groma, nashim peturos. Avalosa say bein shazban grama bein shelo hazban grama nashim chayavos. It's quoting a Mishnah Kiddushin, but it's an important Mishnah that this principle of Yehuda Marav includes all onshim. That's why regarding onshim, men and women are equal. Regarding asays, they're not equal. Right? Women are pturos from zman gramas, as we know. There's a crucial line in a tshuva of Rav Moshe Happens to be a somewhat of a well-known tshuva in the world. In Aruch Chaim, Chelek Dalet, Simin Mem Tes, written in Tavshin Lamin Vav to Rabbi Kelemer, who at that time was in Boston, Rav, but Boston, Bekihila Chashuva. So he quotes there, he talks about different issues of openness and orthodoxy. The name of the tshuva is Be'inin HaTnu'a HaChadasha Shel Nashim HaSha'ananos VaHaChashuvos. So he goes through different elements in the tshuva regarding modernity and openness and women's issues. But then he talks a little bit about the Lo Silbash, right, men and women. But towards the end of the tshuva, he has a crucial line. He says, V'shein is sarach ladas, ki ein zeh, the reason that there are differences in chiyuvim between men and women, and different in tafkidim between men and women in Judaism, ein zeh v'shvol nashim b'chusos b'madregas ha-kedusha me'anashim. It's not because one gender is on a higher level of kedusha. Kohanim have a higher level of kedusha than Yisraelim. That's true. That's why they have more halachos. They're more, and usually more tzivuyim reflect a higher level of kedusha. Not a kedusha inborn, but a kedusha that's given based on a position. A Kohen Gadol has more mitzvos than a Kohen Hedyot. A Kohen Hedyot has more mitzvos than a Yisrael. But in terms of men versus women, says Rav Moshe, that's not a reflection. That's not. Ki ein zeh b'shul shanashim b'chusas b'madregas ha-kedusha me'anashim. Te le'inyin ha-kedusha shavos la'anashim. Le'inyin shaychus achiyev b'mitzvos. Sherak mitzad ha-kedusha di'ika b'Yisrael hu tzivu ha-mitzvos. Ve'gam le'anashim ne'emru kol ha-kra'i de-kedusha. Bein tchilas t'nai kabalas ha-torah v'yisem li-segula v'atem t'yili goy kadosh sh'ne'emar le'beis Yaakov elu ha-anashim. V'tagad le'bnei Yisrael elu ha-anashim. And it said to both of them. It said to all of Am Yisrael. V'uvein or v'anshe kodesh tihyun li. Shebim mishpatim. V'yisem kadoshim deshmini. U'kadoshim tiyu. V'yisem kadoshim. Shebparshas kadoshim. V'chiyam kadosh atal Hashem lakecha. Parshas re'ei. All of those are said to men and women. U'bachol makom shenimsa inyan kadusha di Yisrael. Nomer gam l'noshim. V'lachim gam ha'noshim. And that's why Rav Moshe says women also can make a bracha according to Ashkenaz Akasim. Asher kadoshanu b'mitzvosav. Right, there's a shita in the not all Rishonim agree to it, but there is a shita that Eved Kenani, who's chayv in mitzvahs ki'isha, the Gemara says, they can't make a bracha on a zman grama. Only women, because their lessening of mitzvos, that does reflect a lessening of kedusha. But by women it doesn't. There's different reasons why women are pturas from zman grama, but not because it's a reflection of choser kedusha. V'lachen gam anashim mevarchos to b'lashon asher kedushanu b'mitzvosav, kamo ha'anashim, af al mitzvah shelo chiyavtan ha-Torah, rak shehu kula me'eze tamei Hashem yizbarach, sheratza lahakel l'anashim kidela'el v'lo misagriyus achas v'shalom. Whatever reason you want to say, we've mentioned reasons in the past, the Abu Drum, why women are pturis from zman grama. Ultimately, gzeres ha-kasav. Say gzeres ha-kasav, it doesn't matter what the reason is. Kodesh Baruch Hu says they're pturos. But all we know, says Rav Moshe, from six different sukkim in the Torah that were told to men and women, we know that it's not because there's any lessening of their kedusha. They're equal kedusha. For some reason, they have less mitzvahs. For whatever reason, Kodesh Baruch Hu felt that is appropriate. That's Rav Moshe in Dalet Mem Tes. So when we talk about this Rashi here, when Rashi says that this principle of Rav Yehuda Marav is only by onshin, but not by mitzvahs, because there's a difference, that chilek in mitzvos does not reflect any difference in kedusha. Okay, we continue now. So we defended the principle lo huzaru haksheros lihinase lepsulin, and the line before it just meant that when there is an avera, both men and women are equal in that. Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Brother of Yeshua, Iklula Hinsavu. Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Yeshua visited Hinsavu, name of a place. The Bach has a little different gersa, La Shichnitzav, La Asred Rav Idi Bar Avin. To Rav Idi Bar Avin's town, Bo Minayu. They walk into town, and all of a sudden the Talmidim that live in that town start asking them a question. Who's the Rukshiros? And us the Psulin Alo. This question. Can a Bas Kohen marry a Chalal? They ask them this question. Amr lehu Rav Papa Tanito, or if Papa says, one of the two visitors says, well, we learned it in the Mishnah, at the end of Kiddushin. Asara Yuchsin olam Bavel. No, the Perak Asara Yuchsin in Kiddushin. This is the first Mishnah there. 10 levels of Yichus went up from Bavel. Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim. Chalalim, Geirim, V'charurim, that's an Eved Mishuchrar. Umamzerim, Nisinim, as we discussed in the previous parak, what a Nasin is, Machlokas Rashi Ebenu Tam, Shtuki Va'asufi, Safik Mamzers, right? Shtuki, you know what, who the mother is. Asufi, you don't know who either of the parents are. And the Mishnah continues. Kohanim levim v'yisraelim. Mutarim lavo zeh bazeh. Kohen levi yisrael could all marry within each other. Is there a chadchila for a kohen to marry a bas kohen? That we discussed last week from Rav Avadia. Levim v'yisraelim, chalalim, gerim, charurim. Mutarim lavo zeh bazeh. So there's a little overlap in each category. Kohanim cannot marry the next group, but levim and yisraelim can marry. A levi can marry a chalala, and a ger, and even mishuchrar. They're all mutar within each other. Geirei, charurei, umamzeirei, nisini, shtuki, vasufi, mutar and lavo zebazeh. Right? So according to the Manda Amar, that a ger is lo ikri kahal, and therefore he can marry a mamzer. That's the end of the Mishnah. So says Rav Papa. Ve'ilukonas l'chala loktani. So, kohanas to a chala doesn't say that's mutar. So says Rav Papa, it must be a bas kohen is not allowed to marry a chala. By raya, by omission. Says his friend who's with him, no. Amalei Rafuna Breder of Yeshua, no, come on. Kol Echa Tahani Nasvi Mehani, Vahani Nasvi Mehani Ktani. Anytime where it goes in both directions, where the men and the women can marry each other, doesn't matter who has the status, that's what the Mishnah says. If it's two directional. But Kohen, Kivan, you know, it says it leaves out that a Kohen can marry a Chalala. So because that's Usser, so it doesn't say the other one also, even though the other one is Mutter. Right, because one direction is Asar, it doesn't say that. Fine, so that's what these two rabbis came into town. They asked one of them the question. He brought a raya from a Mishnah, and his friend said, you're wrong. Also, the comment of Idi Bar Avin, and then they asked Rav Idi Bar Avin himself, who was the Mara da Asra. Amar Lahu Dardagi, he says to them, kids, Hachi Amar Rav Yudam Arav, Lohuzer, Ukeshev, was Linas Lipsulin. We have that Mesorah from Rav. That it is mutter. 2 points. Number one, the Marsha. The Marsha on that Mishnah in Kiddushin says, 10 levels of Kedushas Yisrael. 10 levels of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael as well. We know the first parak in Meseches Kalim discusses the Asara Kedushos. So the Marsha connects the two. Elo Asara Kitos Heim Klal Yisrael. Hamaminim Bashem Ukedushasan Eser Kedushas Zulam Alamizu. Ad HaKohen, Shehu Kodesh HaKadoshim. Until the Kohen, who is the Kodesh Kodesh, Kemosha Kasab, Sos Mesech HaSarios. V'cham Sham Chashiv, Mamzer V'nasen, Kodim L'gir V'charurei. Okay, a couple of little differences in terms of order. Aval Hachal and Yichus V'kedusha V'geder Erva, Gir V'chaluli Kodim L'hem. Then he says V'da. Here's the important line. Kimochein Be'eretz Yisrael, Shenitan L'hem L'Yisrael, Yish Eser Kedusha, Zulam Alamizu, Ad Kodesh HaKadoshim. Just like the Kohen is Kodesh Kadoshim, so too there is a literal Kodesh Kadoshim. Kiditznan beperakama to Kalim, as it says in Kalim. Ukimosha yesh bitzava mala eser kedusha zulam alamizu. Like the Rambam quotes this. There are 10 levels of angels in Shemayim, the 10 levels of Kedusha. So there are 10 levels of Jews and 10 levels of Eretz Yisrael portions. Kedarmina b'midrashos kein yesh b'tzva'os shalamata mishahem klal Yisrael. So you have the tzva milamata, tzva milamala, and Eretz Yisrael. By the way, you see clearly, man, woman is not two different levels here. Right? That's a rayim of Fereshus also to Rav Moshe. It is not there's no difference. Sharam Mitzion of Halacha here, Rabbi Bruin, notes, unusual story. These two rabbis come visiting, so all the Talmidim ask them, and they say, okay, let's go ask our own rabbi. Why don't they just go ask their own rabbi first? Why didn't they go to Rav Idi Bar Avin in the first place? So he suggests, if you look, and maybe this fits with the change of girsa of the Bach, that the name is Shichnitziv, not Hintziv. He says, if you look in Maseches Psachim, the Gemara says, Rabbeinu HaKadosh Sivala, and this is one of those, you have to have Shas on your fingertips to put these Gemaras together, like we had yesterday from the Aruch Laner. So the Gemara Psachim, Kuf Yud Beis, tells us that Rabbeinu HaKadosh commanded his children, don't live in Shechnetziv. Mishum de Leitzanei Havei. Umashli L'cho B'Leitzanusa. A lot of Leitzanim in Shechnetziv. So don't live there and stay there for a while because you'll be mushpa from them. So suggest that Sharm Mitzvah Balacha, Ravid Bar Avin probably didn't live in town because he wouldn't want to be Nimshach Abasrei. So he probably lived on the edge of town, so they weren't always around him. So when these two other rabbis came in to visit, so to be in town for a day, it's not gonna affect you. So that's what they asked them. And once they asked them, and now things were getting more involved in terms of halacha, then they went out to their Marata Asra and asked. But he didn't live with them close by, but cool, there are a lot of late sonim in Shechnetziv. That's the suggestion that the Sha'ar Mitzion of halacha has here, putting the Shechnetziv and Shichnitziv together. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara now. Two dots. Shnios midivrei sofrim v'chulu. So the Mishnah had said that we also have the categories. We have the four categories of relationships. So also by shnios, you have the categories. You can have two people who are relationship that they're both mutter, both usser, one mutter. So by minei bnei biri may rav sheshas. Shnia labav lo shnia liyavam. So we said there's a case where the woman is a shnia to the husband, but muteres to the yavam. So in that case, yesh lo ksuva miyavam or lo? Would there be a ksuva from the yavam or not? Why? We know there is no ksuva for a shnia. That's what we said in the Mishnah. So there is no ksuva for the husband. But we know the yavam is always a stand-in for the husband. Right? That was the Mishnah that we had. We're going to quote it in a second on Daf Lamed Tes. The Mishnah says, quoted on Daf Lamed Ches, Kansa, the Mishnah said, Hareyu ki isho v'chol davar, once Yibam takes place, they're married, u'bilvad she'teik subasa al nechsei ba'la harishon. But the ksuba goes for the rishon. And if the husband, the first husband doesn't have anything, no assets, then it goes to the sheni. But he's a backup. So, what happens here if the original, the Baal, doesn't have a Chiyav Ksuba because it's Ba'aveira? So then what do you do? Right, a similar question could be asked on a Doraisa level in the Sugya of Arev. We know generally in Arev, a cosigner, you can only go to the cosigner if the person himself doesn't have money. So what if for some reason the person doesn't have money for some halachic reason? Right, so then could you go straight to the cosigner? Right, something's a Yisuri Hanah. So here too, you have the question. So, Yesh Laksuba Miyava Molo. Kivan to Amar Marksu Basal Nechse Baila Harishon Lesla, since, if you want to say, Mitzad Echad, that the origins of the Ksuba have to come from the Baal. So if the Baal doesn't have a Ksuba, then the Yavam doesn't also. O Dilma, or Kivan de Ilu Lesla Me Rishon Takina La Rabbana Mishen Yisla. Or do we say no? Well, he is a backup. And the Rabbana said, if the first one does not have, so the second one gives. This is another example. So what do you say? So the Gemara answers, Amar Luhu Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes answers, the Bnei Biri, Tani Tua. Well, we learned it. Ksubasa Nechse Baal Harishon. Vim Haisa Shnia Labal Afilu Miyavim Ela Spefarish. Right? If the husband does not have because he is a Shnia, so then the Yavam doesn't have to give, which is an amazing concept. Well, again, one of the main questions we've asked every couple of days in this Masechta is, how much is the Yavam independent? How much is he a stand-in? So this is really, if this Halacha L'maisa, he's a stand-in. Because if the first one doesn't have Ksuba, the second one doesn't have Ksuba either. On a practical level, if he doesn't have, then he does. But here, halachically. So the Gemara says, Michlal. Rashi notes this next question is only a linguistic problem. Rashi says, Klomar, ba'ayan ifshita. We answer the question. But mi alishna de brisa kasha. I have a problem with the language of the brisa. Michlal de ika de islam yavam. The brisa says, even from the yavam, she doesn't get. It sounds like sometimes she does get from the yavam, in a similar type of case. So what kind of case would she get from? So Gemara says, no, really, chisuri machsra of a hachiktani. This is how you should learn the brisa. Ksubas al nechse bayla harishon. Ve iles la me rishon takida la misheni. That's the case, just put it into the language of the Brisa. The Ramban here notes that the Bnei Biri did not ask Rav Sheshes the opposite question. Meaning, the question is, if the Baal is a Shnia and the Yavam is not a Shnia, so that's the question, and the answer was that the Yavam does not have to give, because the Baal, the Iker Chiyav, doesn't exist. But the Ramban says if it was the opposite, if the Baal had a Chiyav, and then the Yavam was a Shnia, then for sure she does get. Because the Yavam is an outgrowth of the, you can't have it both ways, right? You have to be consistent. So if the Yavam is an outgrowth of the Baal, so then the Iker Chiyav is there. So the Ramban says for sure she would get, because the Ramban's Lashon is lo garua than if there was no Yavam at all. Just because there's a brother doesn't make it worse for her in terms of a Ksuba. So if she was going to get it from her husband died, she would collect the Ksuba, just because the Yavam is not going to make it worse for her. Period. That's one question related. Next, boy minei Rabbi Elazar mei Rabbi Yochanan. Almana l'koin gal d'gush v'chalus l'koin hedyot. Meaning a d'oraisa problem. Not a d'rabbanan problem. A d'oraisa problem. Yesh lahem mezonos o ein lahem mezonos. does the husband have to give her mizonos, give her parnasa? Remember, whenever there is an isser marriage, we always try to do what we can to undermine the marriage, to motivate them to get divorced, and to be mafkia, any of the halachas of the marriage. So in this case, yish mizonos or not, teichi dami, what's the case? Ilema diyasva tute, are they living together? Are they living together? So then, ba'amod v'hotzei koi, mizonos islam. What do you mean? If Bezdin, they're in a state of Bezdin encouraging them and trying to force them to get divorced. So you're going to say that he has to give her mizonos? Is that element of the marriage? No, that would make things normal, and we wouldn't want that. So lo tzricha, no, the case is shahalachu l'medina sayam. They're not living together. The husband went away. He's living somewhere else, but she needs to eat. V'lavsa, and she's not divorced. So v'lavsa v'achla. And she went and borrowed money, she bought food, and my. And the question is now, does the husband have to pay for that? Machlokas Tosfos and the Rashba. Tosfos says, no, the case is where they go to court before the husband goes away. It's not after the fact. Tosfos on top. If she borrowed and bought food before Bezdin told her she was allowed to, then for sure the Baal does not have to pay. No, the question is going to ask for a psak. And the Rashba argues on that. But either way, that's the a detail. So the case is not where they're living together afterwards. So mizone. So what are the tzadim of the safek? Back to the Gemara. Mizone tnaig ksuba ninhu. A mizonos. As we know, there are many conditions that the Rabbanan put into the ksuba. Responsibilities for him and for her. Really, responsibilities of his and privileges of his. That's how the ksuba is formulated. It's all on the husband's shoulders. That's the formulations of the ksuba. What are his rights and what are his obligations? So mizonos is a condition of the ksuba. It's not ksuba ninu. And therefore, midi isla ksuba, isla mizone. So we might say, well, there is a ksuba, right, on the Isurei Daraisas, ironically, which we haven't explained yet. But we'll get to that soon, why shnia is worse. Odilma, what do we say? No. Ksuba de la mishkalu mefik isla. A ksuba which has to do with breaking up the marriage, going out. So that still exists. Mizone, but mizonos is something within the marriage. So dilma ti'akiv gabe lesla. Right, but my mizonos, that's a reason for that they would want to stay, she would want to stay married, so we don't give that. So the Gemara answers, amarle lesla. So we say she does not have get mizonos. V'hotanya yeshla. There's a price that says yeshla. Kitanya hilachar misa. No, after the husband dies. They lived in sin, and then before he divorced her, that he died. So now she's stuck. Now she gets mizonos. Is the Ami a different version of the same discussion? Amarla, the answer was Tanya Yeshla. The Brisa says that she does get. Ha ba'amor vo'tzei koi. I don't have to get divorced. Ve'lo ha'tanya Yeshla, kitanya hi la'achar misa. Okay, either way, two Brisas. So la'achar misa she does get, and lefnei misa she does not get. Period. A lot to talk about in by Tznai Ksuba, but we'll continue for now, and we'll see you at the end of this time. Tanur Abanan. So here's the main question we're going to get up to that we had on our Mishnah. But first we quote the beginning of the Tosefta, and then we get to the question. Aman of the Kohen Gadol Grusha, v'chalutz of the Kohen Hedyot. When you have an Isser de Oraisa marriage, Yesh la Ksuba, Peiros, Mizonos, Blows. As we explained in the Mishnah, right, he has to pay her a Ksuba, and Peiros, he has rights to the Nechsei Malug, and he has to give her Mizonos, and Blaos, and the worn out clothing has to be paid for back to him. Vehi, right, Rashi Tosfos here discusses a little bit against what Rashi said in yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf, Rashi said that she can't even take her worn out clothing. Tosfos says, no, it just means the difference. We mentioned that yesterday also. So Vehi Psula, and she is Nifseles, right? If it's an Almana L'Kohen Gadol, it's an Isidar Isa, Uvlad Apostle, and her child is a Chalal, or a Chalala. That's by Daraisa marriage. Problem. The kofanos alohotzi, and you force them to get divorced. Shnios mi divrei sofrim. If you only have a derabanan problem marriage, ein lo ksuba lo peiros lo mazonos lo blos. Then it's even worse. All these halachas of marriage do not apply. Vihi ksheira, she is ksheira, because only miss a derabanan. Uvlada kasher, and the child is not tainted. The kofanos alohotzi, but Bezdin also tries to get them to divorce. So this is the shaila. Why do we say, ironically, that the marriage, all the halachas of marriage apply in the Daraisa problem marriage more than in the Darabana problem marriage. When they marry Daraisa, she gets a ksuba and peiros and blos and mizonos, and by the Darabana problem, by shnios, which is less of a problem, she loses all of it. That's the shaila. So Amr Shimon Elazar, Mipnei Ma Amru Amar Lekohen Gadol Yesh Laksuba. Why? So we're going to have a machlokes 2 days here. 2 days. Day number one is Rav Shimon Elazar. What does he say? Because while they're married, as Rashi quotes the Gemara elsewhere, he's not allowed to do the avoda. Meaning she's causing him problems by being married. And the hipsula. And he's causing her problems. He not only caused, but he's causing her problems. And therefore, v'chomakom, shu pasol, v'hipsula, and whenever they cause problems for each other, meaning the status, kansu osok suba. Whenever there's a problem in the status, so then we assume that there's going to be marital strife, Rashi explains. They're going to fight with each other, so we don't need any other encouragements to like try to get them to get divorced, because they're going to get divorced. You know, he's going to come home every day and say, realize that it's because of her that he can't do the avodah in the base of Mikdash. So therefore, they're going to get divorced. That's what we leave the ksuba as is. We leave the ksuba as is. Kansu oso ksuba just means, Rashi says, right, it's a little misleading lashon of kansua oso. It means, klomar, lo kansua mishar kal hanashim. Just means that we're not kones him or her more than any other women. We keep the ksuba intact because there will be enough marital strife. Why do we say by a shnia she loses her ksuba? Because they don't cause each other problems. Her status is not changed. He can still do the avoda. So how would we help the divorce happen? By taking away the ksuba. Why? Because the whole point of a ksuba is shalote kalabein avlotzia. So therefore, if we take away the ksuba, it'll be easier for them to get divorced. That is all Rav Shimon Elazar Shita. Number two, Rebbe Omer, no, a difference. Halalu divrei Torah, v'divrei Torah ain't srichin chizuk. V'halalu divrei sofrim srichin chizuk. A difference, right? Midal Rises don't need, people taking Surah Daraisas seriously. So even though they violated, hopefully they'll be encouraged to get divorced. The Rabbanans, human nature. People don't take Surah Darabanans as seriously, and therefore, oh, it's only Darabanan? Right, we have to take that word out of our jargon. Right, it's Darabanan. No such thing as only Darabanan. And therefore, but the Rabbanan knew human psyche, and therefore they sometimes made their Darabanans even stronger. So here they did that to try to encourage them to realize that they're not really married. Then we have a third line, which is unclear who this third line is going with. Shita number one or Shita number two. We assume it's not a third approach. We assume it's connected to one of the first two approaches. So remember, one of the first two approaches, Shimon Elazar says, where they have problems inherently, that's going to cause marital strife, so you don't have to get rid of all the other halachas of marriage. Where they're not going to have problems, you leave it. Where they're not going to have problems halachically, so then we try to cause them problems. And number two, Rebbe said, Daraisa versus Rabbanan. Then we have Davar Acher. Zehu margila, vizu hi margila so. In a case where zehu margila, where we think he is the instigator of the marriage, so we force him to pay the ksuba so that he tries to get divorced, right? He causes it, but where we assume that she is the one that is instigating, because there's nothing worse. She's not losing anything by the marriage, so then we would take away the ksuba. Right, that's the last line, Davar Acher. See Rashi? Zehu Margila, Almana Lekoen Gadol, Grusha V'Chalutza Lekoen Hedyot. Actually, this is already taking a stand on who this is going according to. Let's say the number one. So, by Almana Lekoen Gadol, Grusha V'Chalutza Lekoen Hedyot, by the Daraisa problems, Hu Margila, he is the one that is convincing her to get married. Vizu Shnia, and by the Shnia case, Kivan Delo I Mifsala, her status is not going to change, her children are not going to be labeled, she doesn't lose anything with a Bia, so we assume, again, it's a generalization, but it's a probable generalization, we assume she's in the driver's seat in the marriage, and therefore, we would take away her ksuba. So that's an extra line of Davar Acher. So now the Gemara wonders, Davar Acher Man Ketanila, so who is that a continuation of? Which Shita? So, Ikeda Amar, some say Rav Shimon ben Elazar Ketani La. It's a continuation of Rav Shimon Elazar's approach. And it's a Ma Tam Kamar. It's explaining a reason. Ma Tam Amru. Hu Pasol Vihi Psula, Kansu Oso Ksuba. Why do we say in the case where they're both affected, remember where there's marital strife? So, we leave the Ksuba where it is. Vibdesha Hu Margila. Where? Because he is going to be the instigator. Why? Because she's not going to want to be in this marriage. She's going to become a Chalala. So this is Darmaisa. So we assume that she's not the instigator, he's the instigator. He's the instigator, so then we make him pay the ksuba. Umatam, but in the second case, hu kasher v'ksheira, in the case of Shnia, konsu osa ksuba, why do we take away her ksuba? Bebnei she'imar gilta, because we assume, because her status is not going to be affected, then she's probably in the driver's seat in the relationship, and therefore we take away her ksuba. So that's one version. Ikadamri, or maybe Rebbe Ktanila. Or maybe this is a continuation of Rebbe Shita. Rebbe, who was machalik between Daraisas Darabanans, but then he had an implicit question. The Chalutza Kakashale. The problem is in the Mishnah, Chalutza is put with the Daraisas. And Vaha Chalutza Darabanan, the Islaksuba. And Chalutza is only Darabanan. So Chalutza breaks the rule according to Rebbe. Right? Because Rebbe says that Daraisas should have Ksubas. And here, and Drabbanan should not have ksubas, and here Chalutza Lekohen is only Drabbanan, and there is a ksuba. That's why Rebbe adds in this line, Hadar Amar Kivan de Pasala Mitruma Drabbanan Zehu Margilav Zuhi Margilto. What does that mean? You're right, Chalutza is only Drabbanan, but her status is going to be affected, even though it's only Drabbanan. She's not going to be able to eat Shruma Midrabbanan. So therefore, Rebbe puts Chalutza in the world of Daoraisa as well. Because it's the same reason given. By a Shnia, her status is not affected. But by a Chalutza, her status is affected, even though it's only an Issa Drabanan, and that's why Rebbe puts it with the Daoraisas. So, Ma'ika ben Rebbe or Reb Shimon ben Elazar. So, are there nafkaminas halahalacha between Rebbe and Reb Shimon ben Elazar? Rashi notes, the Rishonim note, that we're assuming like version 1, the first Ika Da'amri. So that's what we're assuming, even though we had two suggestions of who the Davar Acher is going with. So we're assuming like number 1. So are there nafkaminas? So the Gemara is going to have 5 tries until we get to one that's accepted. So number 1, Amar Rav Chisda, what do we have to come up with to get a nafkamina? We have to come up with an Isser De'oraisa that does not change her status. That's going to be the key factor, all 5. Because if it's going to be De'oraisa, so then, the second opinion, Rebbe's going to say, oh, that goes in the category of Daraisa, and therefore she's going to have Ksuba. But according to the first version, if it doesn't change her status, then she's going to be the one that's going to be the instigator, so she'll lose her Ksuba. That's why the nafkamina is going to be all 5 suggestions. They're going to be the same root issue. The same. You have to find the case that's usher Daraisa that does not change her status. So it's her Daraisa, so Mitzad being Daraisa, she should still have her Ksuba. But Mitzad being not changing her status, she's the instigator, so she should lose her Ksuba. So that's going to be all 5 Nafkaminas. So Amar Rav Chisda. And the question on each one is going to be, well, there's a Shita out there that says her status is changed by this case. That's how the flow of the Gemara is going to be. So Amar Rav Chisda. Mamzeres v'nesino liYisrael kibinayu. What about a Mamzeres marrying a Yisrael? So she's already a Mamzeres. Her status is not getting any worse. And yet, it's Asa Daraisa. Man Damar Daraisa, according to the Rebbe, who says the issue is Daraisa versus Darabanan, Hanami Daraisa. This is an Issa Daraisa, and therefore, in this case, if a Mamzeres marries Yisrael, she should have all the halachas of marriage. She should have Aksub and Mizonos and Blos, etc. Uman Damar Mibnei Shehu Margila. And if the difference is, because it depends who is the instigator, Saha, he Margila. Here, she is the instigator because she has nothing to lose. She has nothing to lose. Aye, Rashi notes. Margalole. Aye, what do you mean she has nothing to lose? Her kids are going to be Mamzerim. Rashi says, no, remember, there's always Rabbi Tarfin out there that can help you out. There's always Rabbi Tarfin in Kedushin Samachtes, Yecholin Mamzerim Litaher. And the other Rishonim say, and even though that only helps for boys, Mamzerim, and the Zachars, not the Nekevis, at least the Zachars will be saved. So therefore, she would still be interested in the marriage. That's Tosas. Tosas adds that on. Even though it's only the men and not the women. So that is suggestion number 1. Says the Gemara, Ulu Rebbe Eliezer da'amar hareze eved umamzer. According to Rebbe Eliezer, who argues on Rebbe Tarfon, and says there's no way out of a mamzer case. Halo margalo levelo midi. So she's not going to be the instigator in this marriage, even though her status is not going to be worse. Her kids are going to be worse. So we're back to the question, what's the nafkamina? So next try. Number 2. Ela Amar of Yosef, Machzir Grushasa, Grusha, Mishanises, or without it. So Machzir Grushasa, after the wife married somebody in between, Ikebeinayu. So again, Manda Amar Daraisa, Nami Daraisa. This is the Nissa Daraisa, so she should have all the laws of marriage. Umanda Amar, Bnesha, who? Margila, ha, he, Margulale. She does not become a halal in this case. We had this discussion already of Machzir Grushasa, Mishanises. This is the exception to the rule. So the Gemara says, wait, Or Rabbi Akiva, to Amar Yesh Mamzer Michayvi Lavin, Halo Margalo Levelo Midi, according to Rabbi Akiva, she would not instigate. So this is not enough Gemina. So Ella, try number three. Ella Amar of Papa, Be'ula Le Kohen Gadol, Ikibeinayu. A Be'ula to a Kohen Gadol. Man Damar Daraisa, Hanami Daraisa. That's an Issa Daraisa. According to Rabbi, she would have a Ksuba. Uman Da'amar, B'nei Shehu Margilo Ha, he Margilo Le. He or she would be Margala. She would instigate this because what is happening to her for a Be'ula to a Kohen Gadol? Rashi, Be'ula, Pinuya le Kohen Gadol. Asei Ika, Besula velo Be'ula. It's an Asei. And that's, therefore, she does not become a Zona, Velav de Zona Leka. Hacha de Ein Zona Elahanev Elas Biasura. It's only a bit of an Isser Asei. So again, she wouldn't be so against that. If she really wanted to be married to the Kohen Gadol. So that's the Nafkamina. So again, the Gemara says, Elazar ben Yaakov, Damar Yesh Chalom Echavi Asei, she does become a Chalala from Chavi Asei, Halo Margalalev Lo Midi, back to the question. Again, all, what's the common denominator, all these suggestions? An Issa Daraisa where her status has not changed. That's all the Nafkaminas. And then each question is, but her status is changed, or she wouldn't be interested. So El Amar Avashi, try number four. Machzir Safek Sota So Ikibinayu. Regular case of Sota. Man gives the warning, and he's not sure if his wife was Mizana or not. At that stage, he's ushered to be with his wife. What if he's with his wife? Machzir Safek Sodasu Ikibinayim. I don't want to bring her to drink. I'll just stay living with her. So in that case, does she have her ksuba or not? So here's a little different, because she had her ksuba before, and does she lose her ksuba now? Because they're living in sin. So mandamar daraisa anami daraisa. This is an issa daraisa, therefore she should have her ksuba. Umandamar b'nishahu margala ha-hi margala le. There's nothing worse, she's already a suffix sota. So there's nothing worse about her status now, so she should lose the ksuba. Ulramasi ben Cheirish to Amar Filo Alak by Lashkosa Uba Alav Baderech Asa Zona. But according to Ramasi ben Cheirish, who says no, she becomes a Zona after this. So then she does get a more serious status. Halo Margla Levelo Midi. So we come to the Maskana. Ella Amar Barbara Avashi Sota Vade Ikibeinayu. If she's already a Vade Sota, she was an Eisha Zisha Zinsa, not a Suffolk Eisha, an Eisha Zisha Suffolk Zinsa. Vade Eisha Zinsa, she has nothing to lose to stay with her husband. So according to the first Manda Amar of Margala, we would say she would lose the ksuba. Mashenkin is an Issa Daraisa, so according to Rebbe, she would not lose the ksuba. Okay, again, there's one or two important points to make. Maybe just to mention Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's thought that we like to mention in various times on Sota. Rabbi Yaakov and Emes Yaakov and in Nasso notes the question of why do we have such an unusual a process in Halacha. The Ramban calls this the only mitzvah where we're somech al hanes. Unbelievable. Think about what other mitzvah do we do when we rely on a nes? Sota. We rely on an ace. We do the whole process, and we wait. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to decide. He's going to help us out. So why do we have this? Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. You know, we think sometimes, if we don't analyze it too deeply, we say, oh, what terrible, how can we do this to the marriage, and the woman's going to be affected, and the man, the boel, wherever he is also going to blow up. How can we do this? Says Rabbi Yaakov, it's just the opposite. After a woman does this kind of thing, and she's alone with a certain man, the Torah is trying to figure out how in the world could we ever repair this relationship. Let's say she says, I didn't do it. Let's say there are two witnesses that say she didn't do it. But the husband will always be libo nokfo. Who knows? Maybe she's lying. Maybe the witnesses are lying. And the marriage will never be the same. You know what? The only way that there's a chance for the marriage to come back together? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself comes and testifies that nothing happened. So how do we do that? That's the Sota process. It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so interested in Shalom Bayis. He's so interested in getting this marriage back to what it was. He himself will allow his name to be erased and come back and testify, Kaviyachol, that this is Harezek Kiilu Kaviyachol Ba'atzmo Meir Alisha Zu Shetahorehi V'nimsa Shiyasod Parsha Sota Eino Laha Nishes Chota Ela Andaraba Laftiach Shazaka'it Tiyazaka'it Gam Be'enei Ba'ala Beli Shum Pikpuklau. And that's the deeper meaning of Gadol HaShalom that Hashem says, you know, Shmi Shenechta Bikdusha. It's deeper than just getting his name erased. That he's coming to be Meir to try to get the marriage back together. Okay, we'll stop here. Here in the ninth parak, a couple more daf till we get to Ha'isha Rabba. Okay, we'll stop here.